Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. Guess where I am?
You're definitely in a car, without a doubt.
Yes. Guess what car?
That's a magazine title that sounds really similar to an existing magazine title.
But they never name any of the models they're testing. You have to work it out. When they say it's really good, you've got to figure out what's really good so you can buy one.
Welcome to a new issue of Yes What Model Car, or Yes What Car.
Yes What Car.
Well, you want to launch?
Yes, on a small UK-based single-day launch. No airs and graces, just get the car, have a good drive in it. And the car, let me give you a clue, it's the new Land Rover Defender.
Oh, so is it the new Land Rover Defender then? The very important.
Yeah, well,
yes. Oh, wonderful. Oh, so you're. Well, you come on. You must be like a dog rolling around in fox plop.
Oh, and even more smelly, weirdly, for some reason. Well, it's been quite a day. Because went up to the Midlands this morning and we got to Bear and Defender each. A bit of cross country, a couple of hours to the Midlands.
And
we got to do some off roading.
Hang on, Rich. We're getting some weird interference. It just sounds like somebody's trying to change your voice to hide your identity.
My witness protection program. That's the other bit I was going to tell you.
Oh, are you doing the famous Land Rover witness protection off-road program?
Yeah, because obviously driving around in a new Defender doesn't any attention whatsoever.
No one will notice.
At this stage in that last life.
It's not been very eagerly anticipated, has it? So.
No, not at all. Certainly not by me.
No.
So. Anyway, so I've done a bit of driving, a bit of off-roading. Now I'm just on the motorway. Although weirdly, the sat nav, if you have the voice on, it says "Prepare to join the Motorway," like an 80s radio DJ.
Motorway.
Yeah, Motorway. It goes, "Join the Motorway," and you're like, "What?"
That's
okay. Here's a turner. It's weird because it's otherwise it's a very English woman.
That's really so. What it's
at the roundabout. Now join the Motorway.
Prepare to listen to Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush with "Don't Give Up." What? I don't understand.
Prepare to enjoy the sweet sounds of Kate Bush.
How bizarre! I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Well, I wasn't expecting her to say it, Mrs. Satnav lady, but yeah, Motorway.
Motorway.
Odd. I wish I could play it to you, but I don't think I can't do that and speak to you anyway. But so I'm on the Motorway at the moment, heading back to the Midlands. But, anyway, blah, 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 cut to the chase. It's really, really good. So anyway, that's all I've got to say. Bye. So good. It is, I would say, a very nicely sorted machine. It feels very sort of, anyone's ever driven a Discovery 4, it feels like that, you know how it sort of felt planted on the road, it feels like that.
Ish.
It sits very square on the road.
Is it like, should it just be badged the Discovery 6 though?
Classic director's cut for people who Cadbury and aren't sure about the new one. It's okay. Like when they changed the flavour of Coke and then they brought that Coke Classic just to stop people freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Nothing says addict like that, does it?
I tell you what, as well, on a practical note, it's because the Discovery Ford is a super practical car. It's got loads of room in the back, and the Discovery 5, the back seats, if you're an adult, you sit in them, they're a bit low to the floor, it's quite hard.
Yes.
This, they're not. They're nice, they're comfortable. If I'd done the old classic car journalist, set the front seat for yourself and then try and sit behind yourself, my knees don't touch the back of the front seat, which is, that's quite a lot of leg room.
So you, am I right in thinking you can order the new DEF? I'm going to call it the Defendery, because it could be half Defender, half newer Discovery. That's what they should have called it, the Defendery. It's Defender-ish, but it's also Discovery-ish.
It's quite Defendery, isn't it? Isn't it Defendery?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And then that leaves room if they wanted to just bring out a real bare bones, you know, farmery one, which they'd call the Farmery, not the Defendery. And then there you go. We've just pretty much rejigged Land Rover's core lineup in 10 seconds.
Just problem solving as we go. It's inspiring.
It's effortless.
Effortless. I know. So, yeah. You know that thing that really winds me up when people go, well, it's not a proper Defender because you can't hose out the interior, as if anyone would do that. But I actually think you probably could, if you just wanted to hose out the floor. I mean, I wouldn't fully recommend it, but
you'd have to direct, yeah.
It's rubber mat over plastic. There's no carpet.
So it's like a transit van type of floor. I really like that kind of rubberized matting.
Yeah. So no carpet at all. I don't even know if you can order carpet.
I'm down with that.
Practical in that respect. Yeah, the boots, the same. There's no boot carpet, which if you're a dog owner like I am, you know, the boot carpet is always made from like a material that's specifically designed in the laboratory to just pick up dog hair. It's no good.
No.
But this is just rubber and plastic.
Like boot carpet is like a butterfly. From the moment it hatches, basically the clock starts ticking, and it's you're going to die really soon. Doesn't matter how impressive you are. You're going to perish very soon. So make the most of it, because someone's going to drop a bottle of milk. Some child's going to vom. Someone's going to gouge it with DIY. A dog's going to do whatever a dog does on it. You know. Yeah, I'm really glad. I'm driving it in a matter of days, and I think we've said this before, that it's been the elusive launch for me since the world changed in 2020, and I am very much looking forward to it. On the other hand, I feel like I'm in danger of having oversaturation of, because it's been a very long, drawn out launch process, because of, not through their Land Rover's fault, because of the world. I'm worried that I'm going to be over it before I've even driven it. But
I think when you drive it, then it might renew your interest, just because it's one of those cars that's sort of deceptively good, because it's just very easy going and it's comfortable and it's not space. It's going, well, this would be a decent family wagon if you need such a thing. I mean, it's quite relaxing somehow, but you can hustle it. I mean, I chucked it down some country roads and it rolls a little bit, but it's got good steering. It goes where you put it, and that's handy.
Well, historically you drive your Defender like a complete penis, because I've been in it several times. Which always surprises me. I thought it's always going to be a bit easy listening, but it's not at all. It's like you're trying to do the green hell, but like a different kind of green hell.
Well, because as anyone who's driven a Defender of the old style knows, it's about conserving momentum. So I just sort of take that to its, you know, logical conclusion and just try to never brake. But
I'd love to see you piloting a container ship.
Give me a super tanker license. frankly, I ain't breaking for the Cape of Good Hope. It's just too much aggro.
No. No. What's the point? Just take, just chip a couple of corners off every harbour that you swing it into.
I mean, just, I suppose if you could sort of drift it sideways a bit to scrub off speed, you'd be okay. But
What do you reckon? Sorry, carry on.
Well, I was going to say this is not super tankery for a big. It's a big old thing, and it's not light.
No.
It is strangely. It's precise without being too sharp, so it's sort of very relaxing. If I'm stopped driving a lot, when I'm not driving like an absolute anus, if I'm stopped driving it one-handed a lot, just because it's a very sort of get into the, just roll along, just, you know, don't have to put too much effort in. It's easy. It's got enough power. It's not massively fast, but this is the 240 horsepower four-cylinder diesel.
Yeah.
It's a little bit noisy when you really step on it. If you wanted to, you know, join a motorway or get out of a junction in a hurry, it gets a bit noisy then. Otherwise, it's really quiet.
Could you demonstrate for me the engine sound? I'll see if we can pick it up on your telephone.
Well, so I'm doing 70 miles an hour. I'm doing 72 miles an hour now at the moment. It's very quiet. I think you can't really hear. I can't accelerate hard until I slow down. I've got to make sure there's no cars around me. Right. I'm slowing down. Now... hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, well, that
I was total silence.
It dropped a gear and redlined it. So
oh, really?
It was, yeah, but it's fine. And there's not, weirdly, considering the screen is, it's funny because the screen looks more angled from the outside on the inside. You know, if you ever driven one of the new, you know, a modern era Mini, they have an unusually upright screen. It
yes.
feels from the inside like the screen is unusually upright. So there's not a lot of wind noise.
That's like the chimney. Yeah. The chimney windscreen looks like that. It from a distance, it could be mistaken as a flat screen. It's just got a very shallow curvature on it, and very upright A pillars to yeah. give it that classic look, I suppose.
Yeah, but, I think it's one of those ones where they probably spent quite a lot of time in the design of the chimney and the base, trying to get the right compromise between a sort of aerodynamic angle and an angle that gives you that. I find the look of this car. I was like you with, you know, saying a bit played out with this. I think I'd seen so many photos of this car and frankly spent so long titting around on the configurator trying different options that I got a bit too used to it. I was a bit bored of the way it looked. But seeing it in real life,
you're into it.
I mean,
it's weird that I've seen several people who have bought them driving around locally, and yet I haven't been in one yet. It's quite unusual that I don't get to drive a car before a customer would. I don't mean that in a wanky way, but you know, it just tends to be that way. But so I've been looking at them on the street in the wild, and I do think they look really good in the wild. I do.
Couldn't you step in front of one as it goes by and go, "Stop! I'm a motoring journalist. I demand a go in this newly released car."
Is it like a pretentious citizen's arrest?
Yes. It's like a citizen's arrest, but even more self-important.
It's like, you mustn't proceed without letting me go. Don't worry, I've got insurance, I'll show you. But I'm going to get in and I'm going to drive it. We're going to go on a 4-mile detour.
Yeah, while I assess the ride and handling, which is good. Ride's quite nice, by the way. Just as a little bit on bumpy roads, because I think you should get that feeling, which you also get in like Discoveries of Range Rovers, that the sort of the wheels are quite big and heavy, and the suspension parts are all quite big and heavy, and so it's sort of it's struggling to contain that a little bit. But in general, it's quite a relaxing ride. I think it's smooth.
So this is air suspension, isn't it? Because the commercial ones come on the springs.
Well, the 90 you will be able to have on coil springs, but I think all the 110s, which is what I'm driving, will have air on them, even the commercial, I think.
Oh, okay.
Which was impressive off-road, because you know that air springs. So I know the really hardcore off-roaders don't like air suspension, because if you're in the outback and it breaks, it's harder to repair. But, you know, if you're a normal person in about by which it could jack itself up, and then it can detect if it's bottoming out, and it's got an extra 35 millimetres in its pocket, I think, to do us a little and just jack even more to try and make sure it doesn't bottom out on anything. And it just does that automatically. So
it wasn't
super challenging off-roading, but it was kind of a little bit muddy under the trees, and there was some quite uppy-downy stuff. And it just does it.
Bit of axle articulation.
Yeah, you can pull up all those graphics and tell you what things are doing. And if you watch it out the corner of your eye, you can see it's constantly just locking and unlocking its rear disc, but its centre disc, just to manage the traction as best it can. It's just doing it without having to think about it. And every so often, you just get the sense that the ABS pump judders or something, and you get this sense that it's actually working quite hard to make you look like you're not a
ham-fisted twat. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for, because I know it's got extra cameras, hasn't it, for off-roading to help you, and kind of like a terrain monitoring system.
One you can do, which you can do on road as well, where I'm not quite sure how it manages this, but using the exterior cameras, and that stitches together an image and puts in the middle of it a 3D graphic of the car, and you're looking effectively at a CGI model of your own car from the rear three-quarter sort of high angle driving along, and when you brake, the brake lights on the CGI car come on.
Oh my gosh.
When you indicate, it indicates to come on. It's like,
it's a computer game.
I kind of go, that's a neat touch. They didn't have to do that, but they've had a bit of fun with it, and that's sort of few bits and pieces around the interior like that, we sort of go, okay, they've put a little bit of work into this. It's got quite nice seats as well, because they've got sort of leathery middle bit, but this one's got sort of almost tweedy around the outside, green tweed.
I'd like that. I wouldn't want leather in it. I'd want some sort of interesting weave, I think.
Yeah.
You can buy this as a 5, 6, or 7 seat, right?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. You could have the middle seat in the front if you want.
Yes, I would.
But you can't have that if you have the seats in the boot, the two extra seats to make a 7-seater. So it can't be an 8-seater. Because the middle seat in the front is slightly set back from the other two. And the middle row moves forward to give leg room to the people sitting in the boot.
Yeah.
And that would mean there'd be almost no leg room for the middle back passenger. So they don't allow the middle seat option with the seats in the boot.
So you just have to wait for a couple to be smashed up in salvage, get the middle seat out, and then convert yours to an... It's going to happen. You know it.
Yeah. If you really want an 8-seater. As far as I can gather, there's no legal reason why you couldn't have an 8-seater one if you could fit your own seat.
Well, because it can handle the extra weight. I'm absolutely sure of that. It can still tow 3.5, can't it? Because that was one of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, I guess that's probably why the 110s all have air springs. Solid, and they can handle however many people you can cram into it for that money. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess the air springs, they probably haven't checked this, but they often mean that you can
Yeah.
For your aero.
Yeah.
Make it a tiny bit more efficient.
That's right, yeah.
Which, I'm just checking.
DBX does that.
I've had my heavy boots on. It's been quite some speedy, aggressive road driving, and it's doing 35 miles per gallon, so that's all right.
Very what, Rick? What, even with you driving it like a See You Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. That is impressive, actually.
It's all right, because it's a big old thing, but yeah, I think it's not bad. And there's a Fev coming later in the year.
Yeah, that's the one that's going to turn me on.
Yeah.
In the real world, because I really wanted it to launch with a Fev option.
I think it should have been out by now, but everything's been locked back, so the 90 hasn't arrived yet because of COVID. The factory had to close for 3 months.
Yeah.
And so they're going to sort of bring out, you'll be able to, they'll start delivering the 90 and I think the Fev and the commercial all around the same time.
Sweet.
Later this year. Well, it's early next year. I don't know. I kind of, my old defender is a 90, but I can only look at this car through the prism of thinking that would be a really nice family car for us because.
You're going to buy one, aren't you? You're twinging.
I don't know that I can. The problem is that I do feel, having gone to an electric car, feel like it might be a bit of a step backwards.
I think
a diesel, but
yeah.
I'm seeing we're off on holiday to Norfolk, and I'm seeing a lot more UK holidays in our future. What with the spectre of COVID lurking around.
Yeah,
and I'm already having to borrow a Discovery to go away in because we couldn't fit the dog, two kids, bikes, self catering malarkey, and all that in the iPace very easily without a roof box or a thing. No one ever complains.
Listen to you.
I know.
Bloody hell.
I don't know why people have dual roof boxes, and now I understand this, because when you have children and a dog and all the things that children and dogs need, you quickly run out of room, don't you?
Yeah, you do, but you only need that room for like 4 days a year. So it's like people going, I have to have a Discovery because we go skiing every January. It's like, what? So on the basis of 4, 5, 7 days a year, you're totally changing your car option. I just find that weird. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, you see, the other thing with this is I just like it.
I know you do. I was going to say, before I ask the question about how the quality of the finish of it, are you going to have a One Recall Love It sticker put across the back window?
it feels well made, but there's feeling well made, and there's actually being well made, and having an electrical system that works, which is always a slight worry, though. We touch wood, there isn't anything here, but if I could, we've had no trouble with our iPace, I've had no trouble with my Defender, but this thing's got control boxes. Got like sort of 42 computers or something, and you go, what are they all doing?
42?
There's loads, honestly, because they're very proud of the fact it can do over the air updates. And I just go, what are all those? I haven't had a chance to ask someone who would know what they're all doing.
Bloody hell. Are they
too many?
They're sending all of your conversations to China. And they get like a referral fee. The more there's not that many. Am I right in thinking there's not actually that many piston cars which do over the air updates? I thought it was mostly EVs, where obviously Tesla.
Yeah, it is. I think this is one of the first internal combustion cars to do.
I don't know any others that I can think of. I'm sure there will be, but I can't think of any.
Now, here's a funny thing. I'm on the M5. Going the other way, I've just seen a camouflaged prototype of the facelifted Discovery.
Oh.
It got all camo wrap around the front and back bumpers. And I'm thinking that the Discovery is a bit of a dead car walking now, that this is here.
Yeah.
I just don't get who'd buy a Discovery over one of these, because I think this is nicer looking, it's newer.
Yeah.
I was going to say that the infotainment system, which, you know, always, Jaguar Land Rover cars always get flagged off the infotainment because it's a bit laggy and a bit dated.
A bit last gen, yeah.
One car I paced, this is a bit sluggish type. Sometimes it doesn't fire up for ages, other times it does instantly, it's just inconsistent. This new system, the new corporate system, first car to use it is this. It's really good. It's like, it's not, well, it's quite good, or, well, it's almost as good as the one you get. I've just been driving a Merc with their latest system, and I would say this is better because it's cleaner and less cluttered and less confusing.
Wow.
The graphics are nice. It's really slick. Like, genuinely, it's not. I'm not making excuses for it. You know, the one in our iPads is shit, but this is actually really good, like world-class good. The only problem I have with it is they call it Pivi Pro. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
I can't hear the word Pivi without thinking of the word divvy, as in the 1980s playground insult. And sometimes I should think of Strawberry Nivy, the lollipop, also from the 80s. So I don't, Pivi just doesn't, I don't get it. I don't know why they've called it that. Strawberry Pivi flavoured entertainment system.
Pivi?
Pivi, P-I-V-I. Yeah, weird.
No, that is a bit weird. Yeah, that is a bit weird. Well, I'm very much looking for in terms of the stuff, because I, in my head, I'm like, the one I would go for would be the Fev 96 seater, but I the one thing that I think I've decided I don't like visually,
yeah,
is probably the back lights. They don't seem quite right to me, and because they're tunneled in, I feel like they're an unnecessary dust trap.
Yes, they are, because we drove down a very dusty track across the field and then stopped. And I looked at the car, and yeah, they were covered in a film.
And that seems weird, given that it's a car that's built to do mud / dirt / desert / bush type of driving.
I know what you mean about the back lights, because they're probably my least favourite parts of it, but bit of trivia for you. You know, it's got the main lights and it's got those weird small auxiliary lights sort of outboard on them.
Yeah.
And that's when you brake, all four come on each side. Indicators are only in the little ones. The reason the little ones are there is because they designed it with those big ones, but they're inset. And then they realised that because of the spare wheel on the tailgate, it didn't meet the rules for lights being visible from the rear 3/4 angle.
Oh,
we
no.
We have to see both sets of back lights. So those little outlying ones are basically just a solution to a legal problem. They wouldn't have been there otherwise. So it is a bit of a...
That is a real shame. Yeah, that's cluttered it a little.
Yeah,
but we're being petty. We're being petty. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still like it. The other thing is, I came up behind one of the other cars on the road. I caught up with one of the other people on this event. And as I came around the corner, I saw the other Defender in the distance. My first thought, weirdly, was, do you remember that seven-seat Suzuki Vitara, the XL7?
Yes.
I thought it was one of those at first, which is odd, because it doesn't really look like it, but there's something about the back end. I just went, oh, is that happening? Oh, no, it's another Defender.
That's a car which no one will remember.
No. Here's another, since I'm in trivia, boring trivia mode.
Oh, bloody hell, here we go.
One, I think they're saying that like one in three sales so far in the UK, people have put loads of accessories on.
Right.
The uptake on accessories, like 145 accessories you can have on this car. And one in three people goes into the accessory catalogue with a plot.
Really? Well, that's what they're hoping. I think there's even more accessories than that, from memory, but there's loads.
There are loads. And there's, like, the snorkel is quite neat. A couple of cars on this event have the snorkel on it, and it clings to the A-pillar, but it's very sort of sculpted to it. And apparently it was designed, you know, sort of with the car.
Yeah.
It went through all the wind tunnel testing with the car, so it doesn't whistle on it. So you get no Damon Albarn effect.
You know, yeah, yeah, you don't want whistling teeth at 40 miles an hour. Not especially not a brand new car.
Yeah,
that would be bad. That would be bad.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether or not I'd love it if Toyota were to pipe up off the back of the Defender and go, oh, I think we can do something with our Land Cruiser that's along those lines, priced aggressively and indestructible.
Yeah.
Because they do that cool two-door Land Cruiser still, don't they? Which is like a commercial vehicle, I think. It's only a commercial.
Yeah, and it's got a sort of very appealing kind of back-to-basics sort of vibe going on.
Yeah, I'm drawn to it.
Did you borrow one?
I borrowed a base model Hilux single cab pickup, which it shares the wheels and a lot of the looks, and it was very pleasantly base model actually. And off the back of that, I'm going to book in a two door LC because I think it's very appealing.
What's weird about this Defender? The absolute bog base model has still got stuff on it you wouldn't expect, like cruise control and heated seats. Now, this is the car I'm in. It's an S, which is one model up, and it's the lowest trim you can have with a 240 engine.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything else you could have on this would feel a bit like you're just adding shit for the sake of it. I mean, I don't know what you could crave on a modern car. It's sort of, it has everything. It feels like they've peaked too early.
People get new car FOMO in like tech spec FOMO, I think. So when they're ordering a new car, they kind of go, oh shit, well, we don't really ever use seat coolers, but it's on the list and it comes with this pack and it's only £280. So we're never going to ever press the button. In fact, I probably won't even look for the button on when it's in. But should we just buy it anyway? Or they're buying cars for the next person, which I always find deeply odd. But I reckon, and we've said this before, the Defenders will be at their best when they're specced very leanly. And the same as a 911, actually. Same as a Porsche 911. I still think the more Spartan cars, the more attractive and more future-proof cars in some ways.
Oh, 911's a great case of points. You think you want active engine mounts and all that stuff because you think you might go to the Nürburgring one day, but you probably won't. Save your money to keep it simple. And it's the same with this. You know, you think you might want the full sort of off-road package because you're thinking that you might one day drive up a mountain, but you won't. Just save your money. Keep it simple. It's still perfectly good off-road. I mean, it's astonishingly good off-road. The stuff we did, it was like it wasn't breaking sweat, really. Because of COVID, they weren't allowed to have instructors in the cars with us, so they couldn't really trust us to do anything too difficult.
They couldn't trust you.
Yeah, the car was basically like, well, is that it? Is that all you got? Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I got this. Yeah. Doing it. I'm doing it. Look, I'm doing it. You just stop moving the wheel. I've got this.
Do you feel...
Take your feet off the pedals. I'm doing it.
I know this is a podcast, so nobody knows. They can't see anything. But I'm hoping that you've dressed in something country pursuits for this, Rich. I'm going to go with, have you got a green jumper on?
No, I haven't actually, but while no one was looking during the lunch stop, I peeled all of the back seats of their green tweed and fashioned myself a jacket.
Oh, you just Stanley knife the back out of them and so that you don't...
Yeah, yeah. Crudely stitched it together with baling twine.
I love that idea. And also, did you take a couple of squares out of the rubber matting and you're going to use them as sort of like, I don't know what... Yeah, exactly. Just and did sort of a very rustic stitch on the jacket. Very chunky, rustic stitch. That's brilliant. I've got a vision of you now. I think I know how you look. I'm liking it.
Dressed as a car seat, basically. I know you're driving this car, and when you've driven the Defender as well, we'll have a chat, compare notes on a proper podcast. But yeah. I just wanted to bring you and gloat because I'm driving it and you're not, and I really like it. I think it's a good car. It would be a fabulous family wagon if you really, really wanted a lot of space and something that looks quite cool, which has the odd speed to do.
One life, live it, Rich. Or is it one life, love it? I don't know, because you've got to live it. Otherwise, I don't. You've got love it. I would rather love it than live it, if you know what I mean. Because you,
I might just bang in an order for one of these on the sly, and then have one life, live it.
Oh, brilliant! There you go. There's your sticker. I'm just going to get some stickers. I'll send them. I'll FedEx the stickers out to you now.
Would you?
Wife, livid. Brilliant. I've really enjoyed this little chat with you while you're motoring along, probably driving a little bit too energetically on some back lanes. But
I'm still at the M5. It's absolutely slashing it down.
Is it?
But I'm rock solid. Yeah, rock solid. Just taking it easy. It's good. It's all good. Driving quite sensibly now.
Do you think Bryan Adams is going to bring out an album with him sat on the front of one of these? Is it of that level? Do you think it's going to reach that level of...
You've got to give it a few years before you get the Adams endorsement, surely.
Well, yeah, but he'd put it on some White Wellers, wouldn't he? And it'd be like, oh, seriously?
Yeah. Get a grip, Adam.
Everything he does, he does it for you.
So annoying. I mean,
does it?
Taking the recycling out, that's good. But sometimes, he's made a moussaka. I don't really like moussaka, so it's exhausting.
Everything he does it for you. What, comes home 3 a.m, really, really pissed, trips over a glass table and ruins it, and then just lies on his back and just hysterically laughs. And of course, he's only doing that for you.
Yeah. Do you know what? He's becoming a nuisance. I have to ask him to move out.
So, yeah, okay, Rich, well, I'll see you next time. Enjoy the test driving. And thank you to everybody who's already subscribed and is a regular listener of Smith & Sniff. If you want to leave a comment, we always like the comments. And rate us. If you give us a good rating, apparently Google likes us, or, I don't know, other overlords such as Apple and Spotify. You want to add any more there, Rich?
No, I think you've covered it. All right, mate. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Rich.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.